God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. This morning I'm excited that I've asked Pastor Luke to, as handling our outreach and so forth, to challenge us this morning about what does ministry look like, what is outreach, and how can we be challenged within our walk and in our talk and in our life to further the kingdom of heaven as we use our gifts and our talents for Him. Why? Because we're the church. Let's say that together. We're the church. Come on up, Pastor Luke. God bless you, brother.
So as you can see, the title of today is Called to Serve. And today, if you had seen that on the announcement sheet, you know, we've been advertising that today is Ministry Sunday. And many of us think that, you know, God can't be calling me. God can't expect me to do anything. I'm not qualified to do anything. And if I can tell you one thing, I can tell you this, that I feel that. I feel that each and every time that I step up here. God, I am not qualified to do this. But that's a lie that many of us buy into. We buy into this lie thinking, God doesn't really want me. God doesn't want us. We think, well, He only uses perfectly qualified people. And if that's your thought, think again. Because we can look at the Bible and we see that Moses was not a great speaker, but yet God sent him to go and talk to Pharaoh. And if there's one thing I identify with Moses about not being a good speaker. Rahab was a prostitute, but yet she helped the Israelites capture the city. A lot of people thought Timothy was too young, but Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, "Do not let them look down upon you because you are young, but set an example in your speech and how you live." And then on the opposite end, Abraham was an old dude when God said, "I'm going to use you." We, in class this morning, I just went through that with the kids. He was 100 years old when he finally had his first child. Now think about that. Think about how young you are and filled with wisdom right now. And think about having your first child right now. Yes. Gideon's like, "I'm the least in my family. And God, you want me to lead an army?" Peter lacked faith and self-control. And lastly, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was just a teenage girl when she was chosen by God to have Jesus. God's army isn't perfect. That's why we call it the March of the Unqualified. Father God, we thank you for being able to gather here together today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the calling that you have placed upon our lives. We thank you for the opportunity that we get to serve. Not that we have to serve, but that we get to serve you, and we get to serve your church, and we get to serve others. Speak through me today, Lord. Be with us in this time. In your holy and most precious name. Amen. A lot of us learn this as children. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. But the church isn't an address and it's not made of stone. It's a family of Christ that calls Christ its home. An eternal bond forged by His blood. In the Bible, it says we are united as one. Some are the hands and some are the feet, all working together for the needs we can meet. One in our purpose and one in our mission, the body of Christ plagued with tunnel vision. To tell of His glory and the death that He died, to share of the one truth, Christ crucified. So here is the church. But there isn't a steeple. Because the church is the body, and the body is the people. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Some people say, you know what? I'm a Christian, but I just don't go to church. Well, I really haven't found a church that I like, you know. And well, Sundays is my only day off. But if you really love God and you love His people, then you will long to be with them. The Bible indeed commands us to go to church, and even more, be a part of His church. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And before I even get into this, I want you to know that the reason I'm preaching this message today is because how passionate I am about serving and how much I love serving. If you come to Love Encounter, which we have the first Friday of every month, so May 3rd will be Love Encounter from 7 to 9, you will find out about love languages. So you have a love language that you have with your spouse or your significant other, how you love and how you feel love. But we also have love languages and how we love other people who are not our spouse. The way I show love to other people is acts of service. I don't mind serving. So that is one reason why I am so passionate, I want you to know, about preaching this message today about serving others. And here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Bible doesn't say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves unless Sunday is your only day off. Well, unless you, I don't know, want to do something crazy and run in a triathlon. Unless it's a super nice day and you want to go to the beach because you don't need church as much as those other people. No, it says you need to be in fellowship with other people. And we've seen how much people started hurting and churches started hurting back in 2020 when churches started closing down. And I still hear churches saying, yeah, we're still struggling to get people back in church, you know, after the shutdown. And people need other people. Amen. And I'm not saying you're never allowed to miss church. Vacations are needed. Time of rest and relaxation is good. We need time to recharge ourselves from the hustle and bustle of life. But what I'm saying is, when you can, and as often as you can, on Sundays, church is where we need to be, where we should be, and where we not just have to, but where we get to go. So today we're going to talk a little bit about church. Church, the organization as a whole, and church, the organism as people. Studies show this, that if you don't go to church for 1 month, the odds are 1 to 2 that you won't go for the rest of the year. Being a vital and active part of the church is something we must pass on to the next generation. We must pass it on to our kids, to our grandkids, because if we don't, then in 30 years there isn't going to be a church. There isn't going to be a place where people can come and they can hear about being set free from their sins. We must do this. A study once showed that if both mom and dad regularly attended church and were active in it, then 72% of their children would remain faithful. If only dad attends, it goes down to 55%. If only mom attends regularly, it goes down to 15%. Men, that should say something about how important it is for us to be in our kids' lives and show them that they need to be in church. When dads just attend, it's 55%. When just mom, it goes down to 15%. Dads, we need to step up and show the next generation, not just our kids, but our grandkids, our nieces and nephews and everybody we come in contact of how important it is to be in the church and learning from God. And here's the sad thing, that if neither mom or dad attend, if maybe somebody drops them off or they get picked up by a bus, only 6% of children will remain faithful. We are the church. We are called to come together and be a functioning part of the body. In Isaiah 6:8, it says this, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." That should be a prayer of each and every one of us. Here I am, Lord, send me. In the late 80s and 90s, there was a very popular song that was sung at a lot of missions conferences, and that's what it was called. It was called, "Here I Am, Lord, Send Me." And it was written by this man named Ron Hamilton, who was also known for his children's series called Patch the Pirate. And I always loved Sunday nights. We would go and we would get to be a part of this program, and we would always wear dark blue or black pants and a white collared shirt. And then when we would perform and sing our songs, we had like a little sailor's hat like Gilligan would wear, and we had a sash. And he wrote this song called "Here I Am, Lord, Send Me." And here's what the chorus says. "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here I am, Lord, send me." And I think so many people are afraid to say that because you're afraid, like, well, if I say that, God's probably going to send me to Africa. Or God might send me across the street to talk to my neighbor. We're afraid of where God might send us. There's a very popular verse that hangs up in houses all across the country. And it's from Joshua 24:15, and the first part says this, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord," one version says, "if it seems undesirable for you to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And here's the part that's hanging in houses, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The sad fact is that people may have that hanging in their house, but it's not their true prayer. Maybe we should make it say what is really in their hearts. "As for me and my house, we'll go to church on Sunday." Well, most of the time. Well, when I feel like it, that's what we'll do. We won't really serve God. We won't really serve others. We'll go to church. We have a lot of people in this church who serve, and we're so thankful for everyone who comes and serves. They say that 20% of people in church do 80% of the work, and I think we are far past that. But there is still an opportunity for you to serve. And the sad fact is that there are some people who are just happy to come in and sit and warm up the seat for an hour and a half every Sunday. And I know some of this message might offend people. It might hurt your feelings. And I want to tell you, that is not my intent. My intent is to let you know that you are needed here. You are wanted. And there is a place for you to serve. I am a natural people pleaser. I would rather preach some feel-good message than a message that might hurt your feelings a little bit. And I heard a pastor preach one time, and he said this, "Being a people pleaser is a form of idolatry." And that hit me, because I don't want to serve any idols. I want to serve God. So I have to do everything I can to not be a people pleaser and be a God pleaser. But I have to make sure that when I'm telling people the truth, that we're doing it out of love and grace and tactfulness. So when I said, "God, use me," I had to preach what he placed upon my heart. God has placed a calling upon each and every Christian, each and every person here today, each and every person listening online. You can go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. We'll get there in a second, 1 Peter 2. But four reasons why people are not involved in the church. Number one, some people just feel useless. They think that they are not qualified to do the work of church or the work of God. They feel, well, that's the pastor's job. That's the other ministry leader's job. They think that their downfalls, their imperfections disqualify them from helping out. As a body of Christ, as the organization, as New Hope Talmadge, we value imperfection as a necessary ingredient to be used by God. And I'm going to say that again because when I was practicing this message, as Pastor has said that he had a speech problem growing up, I had a speech problem, I went to speech therapy. So as I was practicing this yesterday, I just could not say necessary. I'm like, okay, what is it? How do I say this? And I just couldn't. And finally, I got it, and I'm like, God, that's one of my imperfections. But because of that imperfection, I can be used by you. You are valued no matter what you have gone through. So you're on your second marriage? Come on in. We'll use you. You deal with a little bit of depression? Come on in. We'll show you some scripture. We'll help you get through it. We can use you. You were an addict. And I love that Trish always says, you were. Because once you are saved, once you are new in Christ, you are no longer that. So you were. Come on in. We can use you. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 says this. As each, every one of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Not serve yourself, serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one speaks of oracles of God, whoever serves as one serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You can be used no matter what you have gone through, no matter where you are at in your life. Point number two, some people don't serve because they're hurting. Maybe you were at a church and the leadership did not handle a situation with love and grace. And for that, I am deeply sorry that you were hurt. But you have to remember that you were hurt by an organism, not the organization. Well, I was hurt at my last church, and I don't want to serve because if I serve and somebody else gets hurt, then I can get blamed for that. And I don't want to be the blame for other people hurt, so I'm just going to sit here. Well, the only thing that can help you heal besides God is another organism. Stop blaming other people. Step up and say, yes, they hurt me, but I am not going to let that decide my fate. I will overcome, and because I don't want to see someone else hurt, that is why I am going to step up and help. Because I don't want other people to have to go through the same thing that I went through. Step up and do what God has called you to do. Third point, I hope you have your steel-toe shoes on, because I said some of this might hurt a little bit, but point number three, why some people don't serve, some people are just lazy. We're just going to be honest. Some people want to enjoy all the benefits while doing nothing. In James 2, it says this, faith without works is dead. Let me say it another way. Your faith, your belief in God without you stepping up, helping out, serving others, sharing your testimony, and doing what God has called you to do is worthless. In Revelation it says, for you are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm, and if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you just want to come to church. You don't want to spend time in the Word. You don't want to spend time with God outside of church. You don't want to serve others. You don't even really want to love others. God says you are lukewarm and I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, you know, Sunday's my only day off and I just want to relax. There's a lot of people who come here and they love serving, but sometimes they just want to sit and relax. But because, amen. That's why Pastor said, you know what, you're preaching today. I'm relaxed. And I'm like, yes, sir. But no, it's true. We do just want to sit and relax. We love coming to church. That's why we open up the church on Fridays for you to come and sit and relax and just enjoy. Before Allie married me, she knew that I was called to the ministry. She knew there was times when we were dating. I think it was within the first month of us really dating, she came to the church and was there till like midnight working on PowerPoint stuff with me. So there are some times where I know she's like, really, we got to go to the church again on a Saturday? Again, it's been there for the past month, but I know that you're called and that you love doing it, and that's what we are called to do. So let's go. Some people just want to enjoy the benefits. People would rather be an object of the church's ministry than a partner in it. Too many church members maintain the me first attitude, and that's just human nature. It's so much easier to be a consumer than a collaborator, and that is not biblical. I think churches all around need to make it more difficult for people who just want to come, sit, and get out the door. Because if everybody comes and sits and gets out the door, then nothing ever happens. People need to be challenged. The thing about laziness is it's contagious. Serving is hard enough, and no one wants to serve while dozens of others sit around and watch. It causes the people who are serving to actually reconsider serving. And if it's not corrected, churches will go from only a few people serving and working to no one working. You'll have 10 people there. 5 will be sitting around. 5 will be serving. Pretty soon, one of those people who is serving will be like, man, I'm tired. I'm going to go over here and sit. And one by one, and pretty soon, one person left serving dozens of others. They're going to look and be like, I'm tired of this. The church has hurt me. I'm gone. And out the door they go. Because we need to be working together. All of God's people, that's you, all of God's people are called to the ministry. All of God's people are sent on mission. The only questions are where and among whom. Charles Spurgeon said this, every Christian is either a missionary or imposter. So what does your name tag say? Does it say Christian? Does it say servant? Does it say one who loves others? Or does the name tag say fake? We are called to serve others and serve the church. And number 4, the reason why people don't serve in the church. They didn't know they were wanted, or didn't know there was an opportunity. While sometimes I feel that is a very valid excuse, you didn't know that there was an opportunity to serve there, I also feel that it can also be kind of a lame excuse. The same reason why people are like, you know what, I'm just mad at that person because they didn't come and say hi to me today. Well, did you go say hi to them? Pastor, years ago over at Riverside, pastor told me, hey, can you try and make it a point to say hi to so-and-so? Because they said to me, you know what? Luke never says hi to me. And he said, well, do you say hi to them? Well, no. Someone once described me as a bull in a china shop on a Sunday morning. I do my best to say hi, but because I have taken the call upon God, and I'm like, all right, Pastor, anything you need, help in getting things done, I don't get a chance to say hi to everybody. And if I have offended you by not saying hi, I am sorry, but hi. Good morning. But some people are like, well, you know, I didn't know there was a cleaning day, and they didn't ask me to help. Well, we've been making the announcement. But because we didn't come up to you personally and be like, Trish, will you come to cleaning day? And then, Sarah, will you come to cleaning? And I'm not saying you're not worth that time because you are, but that's why we make the announcements. Well, they didn't ask me to make brownies. I would have made brownies better than Faith made them. But yeah, people will be like, well, I didn't know there was, you know, I didn't know there was a bake sale going on. We've been making the announcement, but because you've been AWOL from the church for the past 4 weeks, no, you didn't know. Again, some people will, I just had a rough week, and I understand. We all have rough weeks, and we do need time to sit and take it in. But we also need people to step up and help out. Some people want a first-class ticket to heaven, but they don't want to pay the price. Well, I'm comfortable right where I am. I'm comfortable just coming in, getting my worship on. Well, here's the thing. A comfort garden is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. Do you really think that Jesus was comfortable when he was on the cross dying for you? Think about a seed. When you plant a seed, it has to go through a lot to come up out of that dirt and to prosper into what it has destined to be. We need to get out of our comfort zone. And I understand some of you are like, listen, I'm an introvert. Please do not ask me to stand at the door and greet people. Some people are like, kids? I want to smack them in the back of the head. I love them, but don't ask me to teach. And if that's you, that's fine. We've got plenty of other places that you can serve. So I asked you to turn to 1 Peter. We're going to skip ahead for sake of time. Sorry, wifey. I didn't take these verses out. I took them off on here. But we're going to skip ahead to verse 9. So 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 9, it says this: But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his, God's own possession, that you might proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I'm going to read it again out of another translation. And it says this: But you are the chosen one. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Wow. If that is not an awesome and wonderful four-word message right there. How many people have ever felt rejected? How many people have ever felt the least of these? But you are accepted. No matter what you have been through, you are accepted and you are called by God. You have been accepted into the biggest and best family when you became a Christian. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you have never put your faith and trust in God. Maybe you're just playing this thing called church. Well, I have to go. You know, people expect me to be there. I guess that's what people do on Sundays. Well, I want you to know this, that if you are just playing this thing called church, that there is a God who loves you so much. He is standing there with his arms open wide saying, come on in. He's never going to force you to love him or choose him. But when you put your faith and trust in God, there is a sense of renewal and refreshment. Maybe you're broke down. And maybe you're carrying heavy burdens. And in Matthew 11:28, it says this, "Come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I, God, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If that's you today, I encourage you to lay it all down at the foot of the cross. Don't just play church. Back there in Peter was called of God. Peter knows something about being called. And Peter was one who you would say was a misfit. And God accepted him. Another way I can tell you God accepts the misfits, the broken down, the ones who feel unqualified, is because God has accepted me. And if God has accepted me, and he has accepted Peter, and he put a calling on Peter's life, then he will accept you. Peter was one messed up dude, but God used him tremendously. Peter, the disciple who denied Jesus three times, "Nope, I wasn't with him." "Yes, you were with him. I can tell by the way you talk." "Nope, I wasn't with him." Somebody's like, "Peter, I got a picture of you with Jesus." Good old Pete's like, "Listen, that picture is more grainy than the picture people have of Bigfoot. That's not me." And what happened after that third time? The rooster crowed, and Peter said, "I never knew that man." God wants you to be the church. He wants to help build the church on you. Matthew 16, in the first part of it, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's like, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah." He's like, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter's like, you are Jesus the Messiah." And before this, Peter's name was Simon. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "Blessed are you, not because it's been revealed to you through the miracles, but because God has revealed it to you. And because of this, you are now Peter, and upon you, you are the rock, and I will build my church." Peter had a revelation. Some of us are praying for a miracle when we need to be praying for a revelation of who God really is. We need to see that he is the all-sustainer, that he is the life-giver, that he is sufficient. So Jesus says to Peter, he says, "I'm going to build my church upon you. I don't care about your flaws. I don't care about your lack of faith. You're going to build the church." Jesus knew everything that Peter was going to do. He knew that Peter was going to commit assault with a deadly weapon. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he even knew that right after he said, "Peter, I'm going to build my church on you," he knew that Peter was going to try to talk him out of his Masonic duties. Jesus tells him, "Yes, I'm the Messiah, and I have come that people might have life and life more abundantly. I am going to lay down my life for the church." And Peter's like, here we go, good old Pete, not knowing when to shut his mouth. He's like, "Jesus, listen, you are not going to do that. You're not going to lay down your life." It says that he began to rebuke. He began to scold Jesus, like, "Jesus, you're not going to do that." And Jesus is like, "Peter, get behind me, Satan. That is what I am called to do." So if God can use Peter, he can and he will use you. Okay, come on. I know you say God can use me, but show me in the Bible where it says that I need to be working in the church. Good question. Okay, James chapter 2 says this. We're going to skip ahead. So first part says, what good is it if someone says they have faith? And we're going to go to We're going to start in verse 26. It says this: "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, also your faith apart from works is dead." Again, your faith is shown through your works. You're not saved because of your works, but when you come to Christ, and because of your faith, then it says you will do good works. You will love others. You will serve others. Each of us has been designed to do something for the great cause of Christ. Each of us has a certain gift that God has blessed us to build this kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to go ahead and skip ahead to verse number 27. The first couple verses that I had in there was talking about, you know, that we are the body. Some are the hands, some are the feet. The eye can't say to the ear, "Well, I have no need of you, so you just be gone." And so starting in verse 27 says this: "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in you, the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will still show you a more excellent way." Now I'm going to reread it out of the NLMV, and that is the New Luke Miller Version. So it says this: "Now you are the church and the organization, and I have set forth to proclaim the gospel. And everyone who comes is important and can be used. And God chose some to be pastors, some deacons, some trustees, some teachers, some cleaners, some greeters, some ushers, and some people have the spirit of hospitality. Some people can help in the parking lot. Some people are prayer warriors, and some people can open and close the church. And some people he gave the spirit of creativity. And everyone is welcome and can be used no matter how messed up you think you are." Amen. You can be used. You are welcome here. And we want you to serve here. I want you to know that you are loved and you are important. We need you here at New Hope. Because again, if we don't start serving, and no one serves, and no one says, "You know what, I'll teach the kids," then how are they to learn? Church is more than just a meeting. Church is about being a community where inspiration to do the greater good takes place, where deeper love is explored, where enriching relationships occur, where authentic living is the goal. Church is a community where individuals are cared for, gifts are used effectively, and people are challenged to grow beyond themselves. Like I said earlier, many people are not serving because they don't think they are called. Well, today, I am sending you out. I want you to be a light in your community. I want you to be a light at work. I want you to be a light in your house. And I want you to be a light here at New Hope. And maybe you're joining us, you're like, "Well, New Hope isn't my home church." Or you're watching, you say, "I don't really call New Hope Talmadge my home church. I just found it online." And that's perfectly fine. Wherever you are called to go to church is where you two are served. You're going to look around next year and you're probably not going to see faces that are here today. Because New Hope is not for everyone. Maybe our style of worship, maybe the style of preaching, just like a country church maybe that just has a piano isn't for everybody. Just like a church that does a cappella isn't for everybody. Just like a church that runs 5,000 isn't for everybody. But wherever you call your church home, you are called to serve there. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on them if they have not believed? And how are they to believe of him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach without being sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So today I am sending you out. Many of us are praying that God would tell us what to do, while God is just waiting for us to move. God is saying, if I could just find one imperfect person to serve in the ministry for me. One imperfect person who says, you know what? What I've gone through, I can use this to serve you. I can use this to serve others. He looks at them and says, all you other people can trip out tomorrow, but because of my imperfections, I know I can be used by God. And I am going to serve. Despite being locked up, despite having addicted tendencies, despite being on my third, fourth, fifth marriage, I am going to be used by God. So at this moment, at this time right now, you are being sent. We need to say, God, I am in your presence, and whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to serve, give me a revelation of who you are. Wash me with your changing grace. Change my thinking, change my speech, transform my mind. God says that if you are willing to do that, it says that the gates of hell will not prevail against you. So what if as a believer, God gave you the guarantee that no matter where you serve, it's not going to fail? It says, you know what? You think you want to serve there? All right, you can serve there and it's not going to fail. What if God gave you that guarantee? The sad fact is that many people wouldn't change a single thing. They would be like, oh, okay, I know you gave me that guarantee, but, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I do. God is so enthralled with seeing you complete your purpose. Everything that you have been created to do. Imagine how your life might change if you were willing to say, God, my answer is yes. Anything, anywhere, anytime, use me. If I can please have all the ministry leaders who are going to be sharing the ministries today, please come on up here. And we're going to start with, what's the first one up? Greeting team.
That would be me. Okay, we need greeters. And it's really easy. You say hi, welcome. You hand them a cup. Welcome. Hi.
Push those down.
We're glad you're here. You can shake their hand. You can hug them. It's really easy and it's really fun. And in the winter, it's really cold. But you'll love it. And it's really fun. And you can give them candy. and it's really fun. And you get to play with me in the morning.
Amen.
And that's it.
So if you're interested in serving with the greeting team, you will get to hang out with Debbie and have a lot of fun. Next up, we're going to hear from media. Oh, man, that's me. So media and tech, please don't be intimidated by it. We do a lot of great things back there, you know, from just preparing the graphics and a lot that you see. One of the greatest things that I love is we do also podcasting besides just our live stream. So we put it on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever it is now. It is on Amazon Podcasts. It's on Audible. It's on Spotify. And then it's on our website. And one of the great things that I love is I get to log in and I get to see little pings where people are listening to the messages all over the world. Literally, all over the world. And you see countries that would pop up and it says Iraq. And you're like, wow. And you see some of these countries like North Korea. Somebody listened one time in North Korea. Like, I don't know how they did it, but it popped up as a ping there. Don't be intimidated by it. We can train you, most of you, but hey, if you're willing and you're willing to sit down with me, I will do my best not to smack you in the back of the head when I want it done my way. But again, see me to sign. It's a blast, but yeah, it's stressful sometimes. You know, trying to come up with, you know, graphics and this and that. And when things don't go our way, I feel all of you turn around and look at me. But nursery and toddlers.
I mean, I guess I could do that too. This is obviously a little closer to home for me because I have a child who's in the nursery. But this is a much more important ministry than I feel like people make it out to be. Because if we don't have leaders in those classrooms, then one, you're going to have toddlers and babies running all around the sanctuary while we're trying to have a sermon. That's distracting. You're here and you're here to learn and you're here to grow, and having people back there that are committed is just, it's also life-changing for these kids. They have consistent people that are always in their classrooms. We've benefited greatly from having one person, Colleen, who's done just the nursery. I know for myself and for Alicia, having Olivia and Caleb, they both were very unhappy, to say the least, to be back there. Having consistency has made all the difference in the world as they've grown. I know that Tiffany's back there every Sunday morning. And so having people back there is just really important. And that is an area that we for sure have a need. People are dropping like flies, and I'm not entirely sure why. But
it's probably my daughter.
I doubt it. She doesn't say much. But it is, I mean, as Debbie joked, is it fun? Yes, it is fun because you get to watch them grow. You get to watch them learn. You get to watch them, you know, start to take an interest in the Lord. We've got Libby who sings the songs all the time. She knows how to worship. She knows all these things. So being a part of a ministry like that is extremely important.
Yeah, I mean, so if you get here early enough, you know when you come through the door, my daughter's all in your face like nails. So every weekend, we paint her nails. I paint her nails, and every time, like, all right, let's go paint your nails. And she goes, She wants to watch the video that Tiffany, you know, the song that Tiffany did with them for Good Friday. So I have to pull up the video of her singing with her friends, and it plays, and it plays, and it plays. And she's, because of somebody's involvement, this girl is just, She wants to watch the video and do the motions to her song. Next up, we're going to hear from Grow Kids.
Okay, I'm not like everybody else. I cannot just wing it. I spent all night praying about this and going, Lord, please take away my anxiety, because as much as I love all of you, I prefer one-on-one and not this. So.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I'm the children's director, and this is what I wrote. This morning, I just want to talk to you about serving in the children's ministry. And to understand my heart for this ministry, I need to tell you a little bit about what God has shown me during my walk. When I first found out I was pregnant with my daughter, I was excited and then quickly terrified. I thought about all the pain that I still carried and knew I couldn't bear to give it to my kid when she had nothing to deserve. She had done nothing to deserve less than the best of me. I found myself seeking healing, and when I gave birth, I found myself praying like I had never done before. Because of the love I felt for this tiny human was so pressing, I thought it might burst. During COVID, I learned to slow down, and I saw her grow, and with every step, I loved her more than before. I saw God's heart for me, and I realized what he meant when he said, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." We are all children of God, and he will always be our Father. We are called to walk with him forever. And in that room back there, I see forgiveness put to practice. I see joy no matter what those kids face. They always have a smile. I see the Word of God alive and active. I am not some special woman with amazing abilities. I am his child, and I get to watch him show me what that means. It is an honor to watch a miracle come to life, and I urge you to come and see it happen. You don't have to teach a lesson to serve our kids. You're all welcome to the same blessing I've been given, and in that room, all talents matter. I find that the best place to get to know the Father's love is back there watching our children grow. So come and see the Father's love come to life and be a part of the children's ministry, because we need you.
Amen.
Thank you.
And come and be a part of the extra things that they do, you know. Come and be a part next month of Nerf and Nacho Night, and you get to shoot little Nerf darts maybe at them. I mean, I'll be here. You want to shoot some Nerf darts at me? So the next is me again with outreach. So outreach, whenever we have our very first meeting for outreach, I always talk about the two different types of outreach. We have our internal outreach and then our external. So our internal ones are the ones that we kind of run like the chili cook-off, and our external ones are the ones that bless me so much. If you were here for the Easter egg hunt and just see the joy on the kids' faces when they went a bike. So today is actually our fifth anniversary Sunday in this church. 5 years since our first Sunday. And so yesterday it came up on my memories about our first Easter egg hunt. And I was reading about it in our first Easter egg hunt. We had 100 children, and I think it was like we had 4 bikes and 3 scooters. Well, this past Easter, because of your guys' love for New Hope in the ministry, we gave away 23 ride-ons. So if you want to be a part of the outreach, you want to see just us loving on people, sign up to be a part of the outreach team. Well, the main things we do is we do that, and then we do the Circle Fest, which is so much fun, just standing there on the circle, giving out things. Last year, we gave out canned koozies. It was a hot day, and people were so thankful that they could put their beer in that can and keep it warm, but they had a reminder, and it said New Hope Talmadge, and it challenged them every time they look at that. Hey, maybe I should go check them out. So if you are passionate about serving others outside of the church, and I haven't come up with them. I heard some ideas these past 2 weeks of something that I want to do, and I can't wait to talk about it with my team and present it to you and show how a way that we're going to be able to serve the community. Come serve with us. What's up, Faith?
You don't have to turn me up.
I do.
But I'm also old school, and I wrote it down. So, one thing this church likes to do is eat.
Amen.
From pancake breakfast to the big celebrations and everything in between, that's where the hospitality gets to serve. My team, Joanne, Maureen, Annie, and Lisa, who's not here, and I want to thank all of you for always being willing to sign up for and bring the food for every event we ask for. There have been times when we weren't sure we had enough. But then we remember in the Bible, Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So you will probably hear someone in the back say, "Fishes and loaves, people, fishes and loaves." And thanks to all of you, we have never run out of food. So thank you again.
Don't worry, we're not having fish today. We've got sandwiches and chips in there, so we're not having fish.
So Debbie says you can have fun with her at greeting, which that's a lot of fun. But if you really want to have fun and have a great feeling afterwards, come and help clean our church. It is, you know, in the beginning when we were asked to do it, it's like, ugh, cleaning. But I have such great joy when I leave after cleaning. It's like when I clean our home, it's an honor to come here and clean God's house. So we do need some help for the remainder of this year. We ask if you can do a month. Would be great. There are some couples that will co-chair it or co-share. They'll do 2 weeks and then somebody else will do the other 2 weeks. It's really almost better to have one person do it for the month. We've made it very easy, or I should say Caitlin's made it very easy for our housekeeping crew is a checklist. So sometimes you might say, I don't know what I should be cleaning. There's a lot. It can be overwhelming the first couple times you do it because there's quite a few things to do. But with this checklist, it's going to help you be able to know what needs to be clean. And anyone who is willing and wanting to help out, I'm happy to walk through it with you. It's really a blessing when you're finished, I promise you.
Yeah, so after the last Grow Kids event, when we had the glow party, I was like, hey, Miss Alicia, let's close down early and show these kids how to serve. So we had them help clean up. We had them vacuum. And like she said, we need people on Sunday afternoon to go through and gather the trash. So maybe you have a child. Do that with them. Sign up for 1 week and you can take your children around and be like, all right, we've got to empty all these trash cans.
Hi. Drama team is very simple. Whether you like to, we've done two in the last month and a half, but if you like to talk, if you don't like to talk, whatever you want to do, we need help with, if we need costumes, stage hands is a big thing because if you're in the skit, it's kind of hard to set up for the skit. We're going to start doing more. So even if you want to sign up for literally anything, if you want a talking part or not, you should still sign up. And as we start to do more, we kind of go off videos that we've used in the past or other churches have used, so we can always have something to reference back to. So even if you decide, yeah, I want to be a part of it, send me the video, and you watch the video and you're like, not for me, like, it's okay. But at least be able to have people that we can use that are saying, okay, yeah, this is something that I want to do, then you can sign up.
And it's fun. Hi, friends. So for the New Hope for Recovery ministry, I hear a lot, I'm not an addict. Oh, I don't have any issues. Well, I have issues, and I don't know about you. God said, look in the mirror, issue. So I'm not alone in that. But outside of that, you don't have to have an addiction, any stronghold, anything that's separating from you from God. That's what we do. And as everyone was speaking, I was like, wow, we have a greeting team. We need greeters. We need hospitality. we need security. And so I was just thinking about all of that. So media, Eric's like, yes, we need more people up there, right, on Thursday nights. It's not just about come because you need help. Come because we all need help. So, like I said, we've moved to where we can no longer meet in there. We will be meeting in the sanctuary moving forward. So we need some help, people. So come on out and see us on Thursdays and stop by the table. We have some things.
I'm up next. Thank you. Have fun. All right. Yes, I've been there on Thursdays, and they do have a good time, and they eat well. Yes. Hello, my name is Troy Johnson. I'm the head usher, and I'm also in charge of the ushers, parking lot, safety, and the door greeters. How many times you pull in, do you see the kids out there when they're waving their signs? Don't you love it?
Amen.
Don't you love the feeling they give you? That's just a start. We want you to, when you get here, as part of our duties, is we want you to maintain that feeling when you come in here. We want to remove your anxiety. For instance, when you first pull in and you walk in the door, what do you hear? There you go. So someone always there is going to greet you. But even before that, you pull in outside, and who's out in the parking lot? Yep. There you go. And Van's one of our regulars, and Jada. And, you know, when we talk about having fun, we do like to have fun when we do it. For instance, some of our parking lot people, it looks like interpretive dance when they're out there. Jada, but I won't mention your name. But there's a reason for everything they do out there. It's to make sure you get in okay. And, you know, just to make sure everyone has, you know, you maintain that feeling when you come in. The ushers, there's a lot more to being an usher than just collecting the offering. You know, you see these guys, they're always walking up and down the aisles. They have the tissue. They're the ones that are assisting your children when they're crying. They're the ones that sometimes got to go unplug a toilet or put up chairs or tables where it's needed. That's what an usher does, and so much of what you see is behind the scenes. Okay, and then we have the safety guys. They're always there just to make sure everything runs smoothly and everyone's taken care of while they're here. Our whole goal is to respect you, to welcome you, to assist you in anything you need, because it leads me to our final point. We want you to come in here with an open mind, because our primary goal is to make sure we maintain the sanctity of the service. Whoever has this pulpit, whether it's Pastor Luke, Pastor Todd, or anybody, has the best opportunity to minister to everybody without disturbance, without disruption. After all, that's what we're here for, right? Again, when the kids come in and you just love it, we want to bring that feeling right on in here. It's a great opportunity to serve here. And yes, we like to have fun, and sometimes when it's 40 degrees and pouring down rain, it's not always fun to be out in the parking lot. But these people do it. If you've ever served in the parking lot, or if I've ever tapped you on the shoulder to do something, stand up and be recognized. There's a whole great deal. Paul, Tom, the Toms, everybody. Chris. Yes. These people do everything. I'm glad to have them on our team. We can always use your help. There's always stuff to do. And it's an opportunity to serve. And this is God's house. And let's do what we can to help it along, help the ministry. In the name of Jesus, thank you.
For me, I love the days when it's, you know, raining a little bit. Those are the days that I'm like, all right, Troy, let me see what I can get done. Because those are the times that I can take a few minutes and I can walk people to their cars. And so those are the days that I really enjoy.
So it was about 15 years ago, I was sitting in my garage after several church shoppings, and I gave it to God. I said, that's it. I'm done shopping. If you've got a place for me to go, take my skills, take my gift, and you put me where you want me to be. And it was the next week at a yard sale, Pastor came up the street, and he found us. God led him to our family, and that's where it all began, 15 years ago. And it's been one of the greatest pleasures of being in charge of the maintenance department, all of the maintenance around the property. And now we have taken on Travis. Travis is now my co-leader. I'm looking forward to the day that I can say, now you are in charge. So I am teaching him some of the ropes. But if you want something that's fun, if you want something that's, if you're not good at making brownies, you're not particularly interested in children, if you've got electrical skills, I want to see you after church. If you've got plumbing skills, I want to see you. If you know the difference between weeds and flowers, I need to see you. Because some of those suckers just really fool me. And I've got two fake knees, and now my wife's got two fake, and we can't do knees. We can't do weeds. So property maintenance is everything from pulling weeds to painting structures, pressure washing, putting in new light fixtures, and the list goes on. You'll see the photos at our booth. And now with the addition coming, we've got an abundance. I'm going to need electricians and to drywallers, carpenters, and what did you say? Finishers. So, gophers. So, if you want something fun, come see us.
Amen. So as you see, we start to build a ministry. When Pastor first started the church, he said, the basis, the foundation of the church is God, the Bible. And then again, we have all these other positions, and we start to build a little bit of a picture. But there's a space that is still empty. There's a space that is still needed. And you are that key. You help complete the church. So the question is, are you going to answer the call of God? Are you going to say anywhere, anytime, and any place? How are you going to answer the call of God upon your life? Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we get to serve. We thank you for this building that we call our home. And we thank you for the call that you have placed upon our lives. Help us to heed that and listen and answer.